What do you want? What do you want? A long time ago, I used to say, $1 million and a house on the beach. Now I'm a little more specific. $1 million after taxes, and a three-bedroom, two-bath, two-story walk-out lake home built high off the water, looking over about 200 feet of accessible lakeshore. Now imagine with me, would you? Let's go along with this. A beautiful 72-degree sunny day with a breeze blowing in off the water. The gulls are floating off in the distance. You hear the sound of gentle waves washing up on the lakeshore. There's laughter down on the beach, and you're sitting in your reclining chair on a shaded patio, and you think to yourself, what a blessing this is to be here. What a relaxing place. This is perfect. Ah, how you feeling? $1 million on a house on the beach is vague. It's kind of a fanciful wish. But as we get more precise, you can visualize it. You can think about the motivations and reasons for it. It becomes more clear. The purpose is joy and laughter, comfort, relaxation. What do you want? What do you want? Maybe you don't want that humidity that comes with a house on the beach. Maybe you're looking for something more practical, a new job, maybe. One where you can direct other people. Would be nice, right? Instead of doing all the work yourself. Or maybe you simply want to start the school year with a new friend that really gets you and likes you, even when you're not very likable. Maybe you just want a good rain, right? To grow a good harvest, because that's the goal, right? A rain. Maybe you want something to finally go right, whatever that is. Maybe you're really content right now, and all you really want is a hot cup of coffee. If that's you, great. I'm going to say, go get one. If you're online today, hit pause, or if you're live online, just turn up the volume, go get your cup of coffee, and then come back and join us. If you are here right now, and that's what you really, really want, there's a... Huh? Hit pause. There you go. Hit pause. There's a whole pot of coffee back there. Cups. Go get one. Put a cover on it. Come back in. We'll wait for you, okay? Actually, the rest of us are going to be answering a couple questions. We're going to answer this. What do you want? So think about that. Get specific. What do you want? And then turn to someone and tell them, what do you want? Go ahead. Think about it. Turn to someone and tell them, what do you want? If you're joining us online, go ahead and write that in the comments. You'll probably get a response. What do you want? All right, I hear some giggling, I hear some, see some rolling eyes. What did you hear? What did you hear? What do you want? Peace. What else?
Everyone to know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Everyone to know Jesus. What else?
Health.
Debt free.
Red Ryder BB gun?
Red Ryder BB gun, I kind of like that one. Honestly... I actually did want a cup of coffee. I thought maybe, you know, somebody'd offer one. What do you want? It's a good question, isn't it? What do you want? Some things that we want are within our reach. We can go get them. Some things, maybe not so much. Things that we really have to work for, have to wait for. Some things are out of our reach, and we may need to ask for. Some of you are really good at asking. So good, in fact, that some of you have asked a parent or grandparent. Actually, we've all done this, right? We've asked some parent, and we didn't get it, so then we went and asked the other one. How'd that turn out? They said, go ask the other parent, right? It's just a cycle. Some of you are good at asking. Others of you are not. You know, when it comes to things beyond our reach, we need to ask. The Apostle James, he writes, You do not have. Why? Because you do not ask. You do not ask God, he says. James 4. James says we need to ask God, and he's talking about prayer. You know, he's talking about asking God in prayer. So when we ask, the more precise we are in our wants, the clearer our reasons become. And here's the thing, we can learn a lot about ourselves by what we ask for in prayer. Let me say that again. We can learn a lot about ourselves by what we're asking for in prayer. What are you asking for? This is the fourth message in the series, Best Intentions. So we're looking at passages that explore the paradoxes that we face as a follower of Jesus and how those tensions often are the opportunities that we have to move toward Jesus into a deeper walk and relationship to experience the best that Jesus has for us. So those tensions that we tend to push away from, actually when we lean in, we're probably having opportunity to become more like Jesus. We all feel these tensions, and today the tension is highlighted in Mark chapter 10 when Jesus asks a man named Bartimaeus. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man says, "Rabbi, I want to see." That's specific, right? He wants to see. What does that tell us about him? Well, it tells us that Bartimaeus believes. He trusts that Jesus can make him see. And Jesus responds to that. Maybe that's a new idea to you. Jesus responds. The New Testament is full of examples of Jesus responding to faith. He responds to your faith, to your trust, to your belief. Remember, Jesus says, James said, "You do not have because you do not ask God." See, asking, it actually is an act of faith. Believing, asking that you will receive. Which is what we hear from Bartimaeus at the side of the road. If we read on, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, the criticism and the critics only make Bartimaeus louder and actually more persistent in his faith. And Jesus responds to that. The scripture says, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him, and the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see. Bartimaeus is asking for mercy to be healed. And asking is an act of faith. And Jesus responds to that. In Wheaton, we have a ministerial crisis fund. It's supported by all the churches, and it's a resource to provide a compassionate, Christ-honoring response to those who are not part of a church. People in crisis, they come to the church because they know that Jesus' followers imitate Jesus. And the blind man knew that Jesus could help him, so he asked, "Son of David, have mercy on me." People come to the church in the same way, believing that the church can help and hoping that they will respond like Jesus with mercy and kindness. And often, not always, but often, people come with a story. Now, stories are important, right? I think that journeys matter, but often I have no way to evaluate those stories, no way to know if they are accurate. So before it goes too far, I simply ask what Jesus asked. "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want?" And then when I know the answer, I can actually begin to move towards either emergency assistance or when that request aligns with the mission of offering a compassionate, Christ-honoring response, then help. Because, you know, asking is an act of faith. Faith that God's people, like Jesus, have mercy on people in need and act. They do something. What are you asking for? The story of Bartimaeus in Mark's gospel, it follows a request by two of Jesus' disciples named James and John. They want Jesus to do them a favor. They're kind of asking for the equivalent of $1 million and a house on the beach, I think. Listen to the passage, and as I'm reading this, try to figure out why they're making this request to Jesus. They want a favor. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now, if someone were to say that to you, like, I want Jesus to give me whatever I ask, what would you say? Well, that's kind of bold, isn't it? I'm not sure Jesus is going to do that. But isn't that what we do? "Jesus, I would like you to do for me whatever I ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. Jesus asked, and they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory." I think the tension here is that they're asking for a new job description. You know, they're following Jesus. They are his disciples, but, you know, enough is enough. They're looking for an advancement. They think Jesus is going to Jerusalem to take his rightful place on his throne as king of Israel in this coming kingdom. You know, he's on his way. They want new positions of power and authority when all that happens. I mean, sure, why not? So the paradox is that Jesus is king, but he's not going to a throne here. He's going to a cross. And they don't get it. And Jesus tells them they don't get it. He says, "You don't know what you're asking. The throne is coming, but not yet." And when we pray, when we're asking many times, Jesus' response to our prayers might be exactly this, what he said to his disciples. He says, "You don't know what you're asking." Remember, we can learn a lot about ourselves by what we ask for in prayer. So I want to challenge you today to dig a little deeper for the real motivation behind what you're praying for. The point being that it's going to draw us closer to Jesus when we really recognize our heart. Why are you asking for what you're asking? Do you really know what you're asking for? Is your prayer aligned with what Jesus is praying for you? You know, the Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us in Romans 8:34. In other words, Jesus right now is praying for you. Is what you're asking for in prayer, is that lining up, do you think, with what Jesus is praying for you right now? If so, great. Keep asking. Keep going. If you don't think so, then what will it take to align your request with his? Jesus said to James and John, "You don't know what you're asking." He said, "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said, "You will." Do you know what they just asked for? The Old Testament talks about these scriptures, describes trouble and suffering. The cup is this idea of suffering. He said, "You who have drunk from the hand of the Lord, the cup of his wrath," Isaiah 51:17. Baptism is a symbol of a bunch of trouble throughout the Old Testament. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come to my neck. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me." So if they're asking for a job change here, one of elevated comfort and ease and importance, and they think they deserve it, they've stuck with Jesus, and now he's going to be crowned king, they want these places of privilege and position in the kingdom. I mean, that's natural, that's normal, right? That's how the world works. But they're about to find out that this is the paradox of the kingdom of heaven. The great ones are the ones who serve, not the ones being served. Their actual request to drink the cup and experience his baptism, it goes something like this. This is actually what they're asking. "Lord, I want to suffer. Lord, I want trouble. Lord, I want to give away power and position and resource in order to serve. Lord, I want to sacrifice my life for the sake of others." Do you remember the verse we heard earlier from the Apostle James? You do not have because you do not ask God. Well, now they've asked. He goes on, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So what's wrong with $1 million and a house on the beach? I still want one. Nothing. Unless it's a request that is more about ambition and jealousy than it is about having our eyes open to the call of truly following Jesus and truly experiencing life as he meant it to be. The request of James and John concludes with Jesus gathering his disciples together. This is a teaching moment for them, right? But it's also a teaching moment for us. What really matters to us as followers of Jesus? Why are we in such tension with passages like this? When the 10 heard about this, about what James and John did, they were indignant with them. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great," say great.
Great.
"Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." Say servant.
Servant.
"And whoever wants to be first," say first.
First.
"Whoever wants to be first must be slave," say slave.
Slave
of all. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is the example. And if you desire to be great, which I hope you do, great, then your prayer will invite opportunities to be like Jesus, to serve. What do you want? Some of you have heard about Big Ed. Big Ed, he goes to a revival and he listens to the preacher, and when the preacher invites people to come up to pray, Big Ed gets in line and the preacher says, "Big Ed, what do you want me to pray about?" And so the preacher, or Big Ed says, "I want you to pray about my hearing." So the preacher puts one finger in Big Ed's ear and one on top of his head, and he shouts and he prays loud and he hollers, and then when he's all done, he says, "How is your hearing now, Big Ed?" And Big Ed says, "I don't know, preacher. It's not until next Wednesday at the county courthouse." Maybe the best prayer that we have is the one that Bartimaeus requests when Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "I want to see. I want to see." That seems to be what the Apostle Paul has in mind in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 1 when he writes, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened," that God would open the eyes of our heart to see, "in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and the great incomparable power for us who believe." He wrote the lyrics to a song about this passage, and I think it captures the desire that we all have deep down as Jesus followers to see, to know, to understand, to see God's heart. He writes, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you." We want to see. Jesus said to the blind man, "Go. Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He saw and followed. One of the great tensions of a Jesus follower is that our eyes are opened as we follow Jesus. And we begin to wrestle with the surrender that Jesus calls us to. He said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all. Let me say that again. Anyone who wants to be first, I hope you do, must be servant of all, must be last. What do you want? Do you want to see? If you want to see, don't ask for ease. Don't ask for comfort. Don't ask for easy. Ask for Jesus to open your eyes. Ask for opportunities to serve. The scripture says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is our example. And we learn a lot about ourselves by what we are asking for in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Lord, there are many things on our hearts that we pray. Pray for others. Lord, good things. And Lord, for ourselves too. Many prayers. Oftentimes, Lord, it may be true that we really don't know what we ask for. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. But Jesus, we do know this. In Isaiah 53, the scripture says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Lord, we recognize that upon you, God has laid our sin. And for that, we are grateful. You served us. And Lord, you call us to love and serve one another. And Lord, we want to press into this tension of, Lord, all the desires and wants that we have in this world, that we truly press into those desires and wants that you have for us. Jesus, you said that I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, have it fully. Lord, that is the life we desire. So as we press into these tensions, Lord, help us to find ourselves in service of others. Open our eyes to those needs, because when we are serving, Lord, we are most like you. Lord, help us to live into that life. And if today you are recognizing that you would like to step into this life of following Jesus, that if you are caught up in the wants and desires that you really know aren't going to lead to true life, they're not satisfying, then I invite you to invite the one who is life into your life. The one who went to the cross for you, who died in your place that you might have forgiveness of sin. Simply say, Jesus, I want to walk with you. I believe. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my life and fill me with your life, your Holy Spirit, that I may walk with you. And Lord, show me what it means to experience the joy of serving others. And tell Jesus, as we sing this closing song, tell Jesus what you truly want. In Jesus' name, amen.